Here we go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I hope we're all together now. All together now. Welcome to Bloodlines. This is March 25th, 2018.
Okay, I need to hold a banana to my ear and say, do you hear me now?
Right.
Hello, Pastor Dan. I read that article on your email that you sent me. Yeah. And I know all about Wiki. I had personal dealings with him years ago. And he betrayed many people, and
right,
and just was a shill for the feds for many years. So goodbye, Wiki. Have a nice time. Except you're not going to have any air conditioning, Bubba.
Right.
You're in trouble.
Right. My personal dealings with Wickstrom was when the Council of Elders was contacted by a man who Wickstrom had stolen from him. Okay, Wickstrom had stolen another man's wife, and this is while Wickstrom was the pastor at the Essexville congregation, and the Council of Elders was convened to judge the facts of the case, as the elders of Israel are supposed to do. Okay. So as we were investigating the evidence and selecting the witnesses, we invited Wickstrom to come and present his side of the case, but he refused. And as it turned out, evidence came forward that he was still shacking up with this man's wife as the trial was taking place, and so his own congregation expelled him. Okay?
Okay.
And I have the letter that they gave us regarding that.
And I saw the FBI file that Pastor Dan put on.
Right.
And you talking about the Glenn Miller?
No. That's different. It's I forget the gentleman's name. He lived in Oklahoma. Maybe
Oklahoma.
Pastor Dan.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. It's been so long. I've been in this almost 40 years. And people come and people go. Yeah. Now we need to get rid of the sock puppet Whizzer.
Right, because he's an associate of Wickstrom.
He's as fake as you can get. He deceived us and got in on EFR.
That's right. Well, and we invited him on. And then he proceeded to attack us, accusing us of false pastors. And, well, what did we do wrong? Well, he says you have to be married and with children to be a pastor. And I told him, well, the Apostle Paul wasn't married. Right?
Well,
so where'd you get that idea?
And it turns out he's a half-breed. He's a mutt.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about that, but he definitely
Well, he
wasn't.
Claimed that in his trial. Said he
really?
Was Cherokee. Yeah.
Oh, Visser did?
David James put that up.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about that.
The transcript, trial transcript. Yeah, he says, "Oh, I'm not white. I'm Cherokee."
Right, and so Wickstrom was a longtime associate of Hal Turner, and admitted
Hal Turner. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
And then he was always associated with violent activities.
Pastor Dan has Keith Kallstrom.
Keith Kallstrom.
Was the husband of the wife that JPW stole. Yeah.
Cassie Kallstrom was
Dan.
Her name. Thank you, Dan. And
so we
had a
Dan,
trial.
Dan's on it as usual.
Right.
He's
so
got his ducks in a row.
And Wickstrom has been calling me a Jew ever since. Okay. All right, so that gives you a sample of his character. Now, he did talk the talk for the benefit of those that he was leading, right? Because he went around the country starting congregations. Ultimately, these congregations fell apart because they found out what Wickstrom was, and he got kicked out again. So he would go from place to place starting congregations, and he did all these videos, and these videos are good, but what all he does is he cuts and pastes the material of Bertrand Comparé and Dr. Wesley Swift, repeats it, and that's the extent of his ministry.
And the funny thing was, he always had all kinds of money. Always had money.
Right.
But when I had my radio station and I was operating on a shoestring budget years ago before I went down, he would never send me a nickel.
Uh-huh, right.
He wanted all his shows on the radio station for free.
And yeah, and it cost you money. It cost you money to run that radio station.
And Willie Martin and that bunch all helped support me. Willie Martin was a saint as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I was teaching Christian identity so many years ago, and I had a big broadcast station with no license because I wouldn't accept commercials.
Right.
And they only have jurisdiction over a commercial station.
Right. Right.
And they couldn't get me off the air, so they tried to kill me.
Right. Exactly.
Well,
that didn't happen. Right. And another associate of Wickstrom was August Kreiss, who is another Fed and who was also engaged in violent activities against white people. And he was finally put away, August Kreiss, for molesting his own children. August Kreiss's wife finally filed suit against August, and now he's away in prison. These are the type of people that surrounded James Wickstrom.
Well, he tried to worm his way in with me and put up a website for me, August Kreiss did. Mm-hmm. And then he was putting stuff in on the website that I didn't approve of, saying it was my stuff.
Uh-huh.
So there's Augie Kreiss.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So Pastor Butler passed away, it all went to hell.
That's right. Oh, what the hell?
Because you all got to remember how old I am and how long I've been in this.
Right.
You know, I was in the Klan and a Klan leader in Ohio in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I go way back, way, way, way back when the Klan was a real Klan. Before it got completely destroyed.
Right, and if you watch the videos of Wickstrom, you see that he never smiles. He's always a sourpuss. Why? Because he's got a lot to hide. That's why he was so serious.
I don't really care. You're not supposed to say anything but good about the dead.
Right.
Well, he's dead. That's good. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Let's move on.
Okay, very good. So, 95 Theses. By the way, there's an expose of Wickstrom and several other feds, including William Fink, at www.anglo-saxonisrael. It's called Shills Are Us, and that details the careers of James Wickstrom and William Fink, okay?
Well, so Fink was a brutal prison guard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And killed a guy.
Right.
The guy was beaten, and he wouldn't let him have medical treatment, and the guy died. So they fired him, finally.
Yes, and they put him in jail for 12 years for that. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those policemen's prisons where he didn't have to suffer, right? So like you did. You had it really bad where you were. So
they put me in the worst holes that they could find.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I walked through that place with my head up. And when America's Most Wanted came on with me on it, All the white guys says, "You're Rambo." And I said, "Yeah, well, you never know who you're locked up with, do you?"
Right.
And then from then on, whatever I wanted, even the guards were shaking my hand.
Right. Very
good. And they transfer guards. And I had a chaplain that was using my translations that y'all are getting now. in his sermons, and they sent him, made him active duty military again, and sent him back to Iraq.
Right.
As punishment. So I was even converting guards.
Right.
Through the word. I lived the word in prison, and I never had any trouble. I had trouble with one bully one time, and I took him in and when he came at me in the bathroom, and I slammed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a lot better shape then. And that was the end of that. Nobody in the cell block would mess with me.
Right. Very good. Very
so,
good. You have to stand your ground.
You got to stand your ground, especially against the beast of the field.
Yeah.
And
one more thing.
We're going to have to do that now. And Pastor Dan's been trying to tell people, this is not going to be a picnic coming up, folks.
Right.
We're talking about a physical war that's going to be forced on us. We're peaceful people until we're not. So you better get your prepper stuff ready. And you better gird your loins for war. We're not going to be given a choice on this, sports fans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is not what we want, but they're not going to give us a choice
right.
on that. So and you better get ready.
Yeah, there's another point I want to make about August Christ. He was a frequent traveler on the Jerry Springer and Jenny, I can't remember her name. Both of those, I think, came out of Chicago. Jenny somebody or other, she was a big talk show host in those days. And they would bring August Christ on just to make the white nationalist and Christian identity look bad. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what his job was. That's what his job was. He was not a real identian. He was not a real white nationalist. He was an actor, a hired, paid actor, and he actually used his daughters and his children as actors on those shows. That's just to give you an idea.
Jenny Jones, Pastor
Jenny
Dan
Jones.
Has.
Okay.
Yeah, Jenny Jones, yeah.
Just to give you an idea of what a lowlife August Christ is. Yeah,
that is what we have been inflicted with over the years in Christian identity. They have attacked us every which way with all these little snakes that they can worm in, and we just got fooled again last year with Wizard.
Right? Okay.
He's a fake. He's not white. He's non-white. He was an associate. He came in through Wickstrom.
He came in through. It was part of the Hal Turner crowd. Okay.
Part of the Hal Turner.
And Hal Turner admitted he was a Fed, and he was associated with Wickstrom for many years on the Hal Turner trail. So, folks, that's birds of a feather flock together. That's the way it works. And that's why.
Yeah, we've been telling people and telling people and trying to wake people up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but nevertheless, a lot of people have followed Wickstrom because his videos are pretty good, right? I mean, he basically copies verbatim the work of
He put on a good front.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was.
Yeah, Bertrand Comparé and Wesley Swift. He copied their material and broadcast it. That's what he did. Okay? And so that ingratiates you with a lot of people, but he was a backstabber. He was a backstabber. And enough said. Enough said about him. He's gone. He's gone.
Yep.
And an infiltrator.
Like I said, good riddance.
Good riddance. An infiltrator.
Don't say anything but good about the dead. Well, he's dead, and that's good.
Well, right. So
let's jump into this here.
Yeah. Thesis number 90.
80.
80. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I got it back up.
80. Yeah. So, there you go. 80.
Pick it up, and I'll put the link in the chat room.
I'm good to go. We just had to get. We had to vent a little bit, folks.
That's right.
We've been at this so long and been stabbed in the back so many times. It's sometimes we lose it. And like I said about the white race, we're nice until we're not.
Yes.
And by the way, I got my new sword, and I have spent days and days and days properly putting an edge on it, and now you can shave with it. So
yeah.
we're ready to go. I'm ready to go here.
Got it's German big German shirt. Steel.
my Viking broadsword. It's just lovely. I love it. Thesis number 80, Descent.
Ooh.
It is incredible. Let me move forward a little bit. That the Jews are given a pass when it comes to having to explain any of their actions, past, present, and future. In contrast, anyone who has the audacity to challenge their hegemony by disagreeing with any of their policies or positions is pounced upon with all the ferocity of an enraged tiger.
Art Jones.
yeah, there you go. Okay. Go Art. Yeah.
Yeah.
Historically, the ruling classes have always sought to stifle public discussion of incriminating facts. And one of the most incriminating facts ever is the hoax called the Holocaust. The Zionists have ordained that any discussion of the relevant facts and historical discussion is strictly forbidden. Break, go to Art Jones.
Right?
You can't tell the truth. The truth is a crime. Thought crime.
That's right.
I love Big Brother. Through constant political agitation, they have seen to it that numerous countries have instituted laws that prevent denying the Holocaust. In countries that, as yet, have no such laws, the offender is stigmatized as an anti-Semite or as a lunatic, conspiracy theorist, Klansman, or neo-Nazi.
I plead guilty to all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I've kept my sanity.
Remember that one commie that the Chicago whatever the number? We are what they say we are. We are what they say we are. Well,
yeah, right.
There we go.
Yep.
Amazingly, the old disreputable tactic of ad hominem attacks against dissenters is not only condoned by academics, read libtards,
yep.
It is actually encouraged by these intellectually dishonest, well-paid professors of hokum.
Hokum 101.
There you go. And if y'all don't know what hokum is, it's an old word, and it translates as BS. Okay, you know what that is.
Right.
If ever there were proof of both an international Jewish agenda and the power of their lobbies, this is it. The only other possible explanation is that in all these countries, on their own initiative, decided that Jewish interests are more important than their respective national interests. And such is such a thing imaginable. Well, yeah, they're greedy little
paid off.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Oy, such a deal we got for you. Yet Jews insist that their lobby has nothing to do with this universal phenomenon. Amazing how it happens all
yes,
over.
That's
just
right.
Amazing.
Yeah. All by itself.
Yeah, all by itself. To admit this would be tantamount to an admission that there is in fact, a Jewish conspiracy. Oh, no, say it isn't so.
Can't be.
No. They have to deny the obvious and keep hoping that no one spills the beans.
Yeah, and Michael and I talked about this one Jew in Sweden who is spilling the beans.
They'll kill him.
Yeah, and we concluded he's not long for this world, just as Arthur Koestler died within a year of publishing The 13th Tribe. And who's
and
that
David,
Jew?
Yeah, David Cole had to disappear.
Right.
And still has disappeared.
Yeah, he's not showing his face. And that Jew who admitted that the Jews worship Lucifer, he was part of part of the Jewish lobby. But when he said the Jews worship Lucifer, he only lived a few weeks after that. Okay, so you take your life in your hands. If you're Jewish and you spill the beans on the tribe, you're not long for this world.
There you go. And I'll finish that sentence. This is why dissent must be silenced. They've been trying to silence us.
That's right.
Notice all the problems we've been having.
That's right.
And we have overcome. Yahweh is with us. Who can be against us?
You cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. They shut out our PayPal accounts. They shut off our Jones PayPal account. They've been shutting out down the PayPal accounts of all white nationalists and conservatives. And, you know, disrupting our access to the internet. Okay. This is what they do, folks.
That's why I just paid big money to re-up my super duper pooper scooper security program that
antivirus.
I've got
for, yes,
for a, well, anti everything. It's got all kinds of stuff in it. It's a system mechanic by Iolo.
Okay.
And I've got the brand new updated version with malware killer, and it automatically, you don't have to do a thing. It automatically does it, cleans your computer, defrags everything, reorganizes everything, and it's totally user friendly. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, and the Jews bought up Skype, so they're doing everything they possibly can.
Oh yeah, they
spy on us,
disrupt us, make it
and,
difficult to buy stuff.
Right, etc. Dissent must be silent.
Firefox divorced itself from YouTube.
Yeah, right.
Facebook, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were doing their typical garbage.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah, well, they what's his face? That Facebook allowed security, so-called security, a Jewish agency.
Zuckerberg?
Yeah, Zuckerberg.
Is that him?
Yeah, to spy on everybody at Facebook. You know, it's a breach of trust.
That's why I don't have Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have them. Didn't sign up for them.
Yeah, and those and Twitter also, and even what was the other Patreon has been disrupting the activities of patriots as well. So you can see every one of these groups, every one of these corporations has been leaned on by the Jews. To
absolutely
censor.
Suborn to their wishes.
That's right. That's right. So everything we've been saying about the Jews is true. It's all coming out. And Mark Zuckerberg issued a half-assed apology, but we know what he's all about.
Too many leaks in the dike for people to put fingers into anymore.
Right.
When it finally breaks out and it the water's flowing freely now.
Yeah,
they can run, but they can't hide.
Right, we need to start a new organization called White Tube. White Tube, where only white people are allowed. You know, we're going to have a lot of pretenders, aren't we? But only white people are allowed. Yeah. Right. Please continue.
Well, all together now, class. 1 + 1 = 2. Is that so hard to figure out?
1 + 1 = Jew.
1 + 1 = 6 million.
Oh, there you go.
Of course, the Jews have no choice but to keep denying their nefarious influence. As long as the sheeple fail to recognize this, Jewish hegemony marches on. Of course, they've downsized that number.
Right, they have.
And
so, which is a lie?
Yeah, which is a lie, Pastor Steve.
Twice now.
You know, if 6 million is false, and then 4 million is false, and then 2 million is false, when did they stop lying?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
But they have all these new Holocaust survivors.
Right?
that have come out.
That are only,
and they weren't even alive during that time.
Yeah, they're 40 and 50 years old, and they're getting reparations from Germany for the Holocaust.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Oh, look at my tattoo. Oh, it isn't healed yet.
Right. Yep.
How long have you had that? Oh, last week?
Right. So why did they bother to tattoo all these Jews if they incinerated them the next day?
Yeah, well, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
The reason why international Zionism cannot afford to have public discussion of the hoax of cost is simply that this fable cannot stand up to scrutiny. The Holocaust industry gets all the favorable press, while a small school of dedicated scholars who have been assiduously putting out contrary, pardon the expression, anti-Semitic information are hardly household names. Germar Rudolph, David Irving, Professor Robert Forreston, Arthur Butz, Paul Rassner, Mark Weber, Michael Hoffman II, Ernst Zundel, Eli James.
Oh, right. Thank you. Pastor Steve.
Pastor Dan.
Pastor Dan, right.
Michael okay. Sweet.
Yeah. Misery loves company.
Oh, yeah. David James.
Right.
Oh, surely not. Yeah. These guys were doing it for years, though. They were the pioneers. Yes,
that's right.
They are. They have suffered greatly.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget, as a boy of 9 or 10, maybe a little younger, I was standing in the neighborhood candy store waiting to buy some candy, and the two women that I had never seen before in the neighborhood, very well dressed, with the flamboyant hats and overcoats. It was kind of – it's a spring. I think it was spring. Around Easter time, because I was raised up Catholic, and that would be somewhat around the Jewish Passover. And there was a radio announcement saying that the Holocaust, 6 million Jews perished in the concentration camps. And the one woman said to the other, "If I had known about that, I would have never gotten on the train." But they were still here. They had come to America, right? It's a hoax, folks. It's another Jew hoax. Period. Yeah. Back to you.
Absolutely. Well, moving on from that sentence, it's a list of courageous men who dare to oppose state-sanctioned official dogma. The non-Americans on this list have been subjected to harassment, physical attacks, circus-like show trials, and imprisonment for simply speaking their minds. Well, they passed laws here.
Yeah. Well, they can't put us in prison for denying the Holocaust in America, but they can make our lives miserable.
Not yet they can't. Mm-hmm. This is nothing but mafia-style intimidation. The Americans at the present time get the silent treatment because America has no law, and here it says, yet in bold.
Right.
To prosecute people for speaking their minds. It is still a constitutional right which the Jews are actively seeking to destroy via the back door of hate legislation. When did you write this?
About 10 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah. See, I knew I was.
Well, you're a prophet in your own time, there, Eli.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead and quote the Bill of Rights, and then we'll move on to item number 81.
Yeah. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to freely assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
What part of abridging the freedom of speech don't you understand, Jew? Okay.
Well, the abridging fell down, didn't it, and killed a bunch of people?
Yeah, right.
Never mind.
Yeah, right. That was in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they hired a multi-culti corporation composed of primarily Hispanic women who built that bridge that collapsed and killed a bunch of people, and their projects have been cited for major technical flaws in other places as well. So I would advise the state of Florida to investigate every construction project they built, and they probably would have to condemn it. You know, who says that Hispanic women know as much about building bridges as white men? Okay. And, you know, being in the business of construction, safety is the number one concern for every construction project.
That's right.
Both on the job and after the job's done.
You can't put up ramshackle stuff that's going to fall
right.
in on people.
Yeah. And you can't hire people who don't know what they're doing. Okay. That's just simple common sense, right? But because political correctness doesn't have any sense, they believe that, oh, well, it's not so hard to put up a bridge. By the way, that bridge up in Minnesota that was like, that collapsed because of wind, a howling wind. I don't know if you've seen that video where it was a span bridge. That the wind picked up and started. You could see the sine wave of the bridge as the wind was howling across it. It just tore that bridge apart. That bridge was designed by a Jew. Just thought everybody should know that. Okay. All right. We tickled your fancy here about the Hoaxacost. This is thesis number 81. One of the most serious thought crimes one can commit these days is the crime of Holocaust denial. Poor Art Jones. We're going to have him on our shows frequently between now and the election, which is going to take place November 6th, because Art Jones is getting the treatment from the Jew-controlled press.
Are we going to have him on Bloodlines? I really want to talk to the guy.
We can do that as soon as we're done with this series. We should maybe today and next Sunday. Well, actually, you're going to be – no, we can do the show Sunday, okay? So because Passover doesn't start until the following Monday evening, okay? But are you going to be
– I will be home until Monday.
Okay, so we can do the show.
We're gonna boogie on down.
Right.
And get things set up.
Yeah.
Because it starts – it's sundown.
Right. I can do the
which starts at sundown on Monday.
Right.
That starts Passover. Sundown on the 2nd to sundown on the 3rd.
Right.
Is Passover.
Yes. Exactly. So I can do the show from Branson Sunday morning, and then I can boogie on over to Kentucky and meet up with you guys Sunday evening, and we'll all be happy campers in Kentucky.
Happy doing Passover.
Yeah, right.
Because it only takes me 10 minutes to set my tent and stuff up, so.
Yeah, you're a liar. Not without help, you can't.
I didn't say without help. I said I'm going to have plenty of helping hands.
Mm-hmm.
But I was up at 3 o'clock this morning recording Jasher, and I'm into next week already. I have two more shows for next week I have to do, and then a couple of shows for the following week, and I'm probably going to do a repeat for Wake Up Call. I will do a live one. I will do a new one for this week. And then the following week, during Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, I'll do repeats because I just don't have the time. I just don't.
Right. Okay. Real quickly, why don't you tell people how to get your Torah? The regular version is now $40. The pastor's version is $45. Let me just tell people.
Because they're just so doggone big.
Yeah.
You can send the money to me. It's got it the information on my website for all information. You can either get it from American National Publishing, or you can get it from me direct at my office here in Lexington. And it's HTTPS, as in sugar. It's a secure site, / www.pastor-steve.com. And it's got all my shows on there, and it's got items for sale. You go to items for sale, and it tells you how to get the Torah translations. I'm working very hard on the second volume called The Prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm into Jeremiah right now, and then I have all the little prophets after that.
So probably what they should do is send you an email first, and then they can order the book and send you a check, okay, or a money order.
Yeah, I can accept checks now. I have a bank account that I can put checks in.
Okay.
And I will ship when the check clears, and I can get instant confirmation that day that the account is good.
So contact Pastor Steve on his website, which is pastor.steve.com. You don't have to announce the HTTPS and www anymore. People know the
pastor-steve.com.
Right. Yeah, they just know to put the triple W in front, and they go there.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't think techie. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think techie. I'm just an old meat and potatoes guy.
Now, you can also get it through American National Publishing, which is ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. Again, it's $40 for the regular version, reader's version, let's call it, and $45 for the pastor's version. I'm going to have to increase the prices of my books, Great Impersonation, and Pastor George Avary's book, The Christian Israel Identity Manual, which is an outstanding book. And to get that and another book that Clay Douglas and I wrote about the Jews, exposing the Jews as the Antichrist, those books are all available at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, and just go to the store. And you can purchase those there, okay? But the mailing address is ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. Okay, so let's go to thesis number 81. One of the most serious – oh, by the way, in your book, they were have to buy a three-ring binder because
– I ship it with zip ties because it would – increase the postage if I put the heavy three-ring binder.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a little book, okay? It's 8.5 by 11 pages, but it's got all the Hebrew and all the – sometimes the notes are longer than the chapters.
Right, and the pastor's version is even bigger.
And the pastor version is the biggest. And the prophets is going to be a big book because of the notes.
Yeah.
Very what
good.
Can I say?
Yeah, you made good use of your time in prison.
I'm not skimping on anything. I'm giving you everything I got, folks.
Right. So. By the way, Professor Truth has been doing interviews with us. I should get that website before we leave the air today. And he's been hosting us, Pastor Steve and myself, to discuss Genesis chapters 1-3. We're still in the process of doing that. And he is giving us free rein to define the terms, the Hebrew terms, and where relevant, the Greek terms. And he's been doing an outstanding job of interviewing us on those first three chapters, because the Christian identity version of Genesis is radically different from the Judeo-Christian version and the Jewish version, as you can possibly imagine.
They have tampered greatly, and we go into such minute detail. This is even more detailed than my word-for-word shows were.
Okay, yes.
Oh, it's – and we'll just take one passage and just tear it apart.
Yeah, yeah. It's
necessary.
It's necessary.
It's not a show or a video for entertainment. It's for study and learning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for something light duty and just frivolous, that's not it.
right. So I'll get that and announce it before the show ends today. But I'm going to read thesis number 81 first. One of the most serious thought crimes one can commit these days is the crime of Holocaust denial. And Art Jones knows exactly how that feels. Every newspaper on the planet has jumped on the bandwagon condemning Art Jones. Several Israeli newspapers, European newspapers, virtually every American newspaper has jumped on Art Jones, decrying him as a Holocaust denier. And so he's going to get that treatment as long as he's running for office. But he's a fighter. He's a fighter. He's got the identity.
He's got a pair, folks.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's not backing down from the Jews. He's not backing down. No way. And he's got the support of the Christian identity community here in Chicago and a lot of white nationalists as well. So, and he got 19,000 votes in the primary, even though he wasn't really running in the primary because he's already in as the Republican candidate. So if all those 19,000 people who voted for him in the primary plus others would vote for him when he's actually on the ticket, right, I think he's going to make a good showing. This is going to get very interesting, folks. All right. But, yeah, we will have him on Bloodlines. All right, let me continue. Yes, Eli James is a bona fide Holocaust denier. I will further say it never happened. Not one single Jew was ever gassed in any concentration camp, not gassed to death. They were given Zyklon B to kill the lice on their hair. Okay. But they were never killed by Zyklon B gas. That is a straight-up lie invented by the Jews. By the way, several, I think de Gaulle, Eisenhower, and several other major, even Churchill, they wrote their memoirs of World War II, totaling about 1,000 pages. Not one of those guys ever mentioned a Holocaust or Jews being gassed to death in the concentration camps. How could that escape their notice, Pastor Steve?
I don't know. Eisenhower was a Jew.
Yeah,
right. All right. So was Churchill.
Yeah, well.
We haven't investigated de Gaulle yet. So that's the fact, folks. How could, and then the American Red Cross simply denied. They never noticed anything like that ever taking place. It's in
and
their
they
own.
Were the ones that distributed the Zyklon B. They were for delousing,
right?
Mattresses, etc., etc., because typhus was spread by the bites of the lice.
And what did Anne Frank die of?
Typhus.
Typhus. There you go. I guess there wasn't enough Zyklon
and
B
her,
to go
her,
around.
Her memoirs were written in ballpoint pen, which right. wasn't invented till the 1950s.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is hilarious.
Man. The Diary of Anne Frank was a fraud, too.
That's right. Yet it's required reading for virtually all students in America. It's Jewish garbage, folks. Okay? It never happened. Not only did it never happen, the Zionists invented the propaganda pitch well before World War II and tried to implement it with limited success during World War I. Yes, you heard me correctly. Here's a sample of what this book contains. The first Holocaust, Jewish fundraising campaigns with Holocaust claims during and after World War I by Don Hedesheimer. Okay. It states, it is no exaggeration to say that 6 million Jews are sentenced to be imprisoned in this part of the world where they are unwanted, and it is a fact that the Jews are unwanted by other people. That's not a false statement. And for whom the countries are divided in those where they are unwanted and those where they are not admitted. And so every nation in the world has resisted the influx of Jewry into their nations. And over 100 times historically, the Jews have been kicked out of those nations for their mean treatment of the host nations. That's why they get ejected, folks. That's the real reason why.
Yeah, well, they bleed everybody dry.
That's right. Yeah, through
people
usury.
People have had enough.
They've had enough. So they get rid of them. And there's going to be one last expulsion, folks. And that's going to coincide with the second coming. And this is from the testimony of Chaim Weizmann, president of the World Zionist Organization before the Peel Committee, P-E-E-L. Note this date very carefully, November 25th, 19... You ready, folks? 36. So, Chaim Weizmann was promoting the 6 million lie already in 1936. Can you believe it?
He was prophetic, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was prophetic. Note that the figure of 6 million was established by the president of the World Zionist Organization before World War II. Was Mr. Weizmann privy to Nazi war plans? Or was he just announcing the plans of the Jewish Zionist propaganda matrix? Or maybe, as you just suggested, maybe he was a prophet. See if this one belongs in the archives of the prophet.
Such a prophet will make off of this. Right? We spell it different.
Now you know why the Jews must suppress public discussion of the hoax, because it's obviously a hoax. Quote, the Jews were the worst sufferers in the war. The successive blows of contending armies have all but broken the back of European Jewry and have reduced to tragically unbelievable poverty, starvation, and disease about 6 million souls, or half the Jewish population of the earth, unquote. This is from a statement by Felix Warburg, chairman of the Joint Distribution Committee. Note the date of this story very carefully, November 1919. Not 49, not 1949, November 1919. Folks, it is such a con. It is so easy to disprove the con, and the Jews know it. That's why they cannot possibly have public discussion of the hoax.
Gets them so frantic.
Right. Right.
And I mean violently frantic.
Oh, yeah.
They will attack and physically harm you.
Yes, they will.
For your views. You're not allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah. And this is
opinions are illegal.
So now you see the fragile hold the Jews have on the world with this Holocaust hoax. If anybody dares to publicly denounce it and disprove it, the Jewish control over the minds of the people of the world is over. Is over. That's why they are resisted so frantically, as you just pointed out. Frenetically.
Well, it's spreading,
irrationally.
It's spreading quietly.
Yes, it's very
now,
quietly.
Now, where are the voices crying in the wilderness? But it says Eli is going in and out. Wait a minute. That's LDS. Maybe that's just there.
Right. Yeah.
Dan, are we fading in and out, brother?
Okay. Stream time is good. Stream time is good. So we'll just carry on in any case. All right. But finish your thought. Okay.
But anyway, they are no. Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Good.
Where was I?
Okay.
They're spreading quietly. We're the voices crying in the wilderness. But we see the listening numbers on EFR. We see the downloads on EFR. They are growing weekly.
8,000 downloads last week.
People, and there's discussion that's not on EFR that's all over with these topics being discussed.
Right.
We have opened the door for discussion, us
Amen.
And other groups.
Amen.
And
freedom of
the
speech,
white,
folks.
The white people are finally getting their legs underneath them again. I'm trying to be polite.
Right.
and they're actually talking among themselves. You know, have we been fooled all these years? Have we been lied to all these years? And the answer is a resounding yes. And that, like they've always said, white people are nice until
mm-hmm.
they're not.
Until they're not,
and
right?
It's getting to the point, if you pee down my neck and tell me it's raining often enough, I'm going to get up and I'm going to knock the crap out of you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's
and getting you did it in prison.
That yeah. point.
Yes.
And now they're trying to confiscate guns. They're kicking in doors.
Right.
They're trying to pass laws to prevent criticism of Jews.
They have what they call a dynamic entry. Well, they're going to hit one guy's house and they're going to have a dynamic exit.
Yeah, right. Right.
Because they're going flying out that front door. People, you know, look, law enforcement and policing is one thing, but thuggery is another. And you can't dress up like a policeman and act like a thug. You're either there to protect and serve, or you're there to oppress and kill. Now, you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. And it's like a load time, like yeah, Dan says.
Right. Right, that's right.
It is what it is, and uh-huh. I just got this new Viking broadsword, and I know how to sharpen them professionally. I've got the gear to do that, and now this baby's ready, and I got some other people that are going to get them, and we'll be out during the battle, but when the time comes to do the eliminating, I will have the equipment to take care of the elimination of
mm-hmm. yeah.
the enemy. You know, they'll be on their knees, right. their hands behind their back, and I will go down the line and take care of it.
And all these school shootings that the Jews are staging in order to attack the Second Amendment, that's all they are, and the brainwashed babes marching on Washington, carrying placards denouncing the gun violence, and which is an attempt to take our guns away from law-abiding citizens.
That's right. They do, and Pastor Dan is right, they do what they do under the color of law. Not actual law, just the color of law.
That's right.
My badge gives me the authority. Yeah, well, this AK-47...
not to violate the law.
This right? AK-47 takes it away, okay?
Yeah. Remember when the liberals...
That cop said, you're going to do what I say right now or I'm going to get really ugly. Well, you haven't seen really ugly, son, but it's coming.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And that shiny thing on your chest makes a good target.
All these liberals that have the bumper sticker that says question authority, why don't they question Jewish authority?
Because they're Jewish. That's why.
There you go.
Surely not. Say it ain't so, Eli. You know,
they're brainwashed by Jews, right? Right. Okay, one more statement here from the Holocaust section. Quote, I declare that the Holocaust cult is a vulgar form of the Jewish religion itself, and that by means of the U.S. Holocaust Museum, Judaism, contrary to the U.S. Constitution, is emerging as our de facto state religion, unquote, statement made by Michael A. Hoffman, August 1998. Fair statement, Pastor Steve?
Very accurate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's no business like show a business. There's no business like show a business like all the Jewish lies. That's what it is, folks. It's nothing but Jewish lies. And
Holocaustianity. I love that. The way they moment.
Right.
That is funny.
That reminds me. Yeah. We should add that to our new T-shirt, folks. We're coming out with a new T-shirt that says, the Goyim know, the Goyim know. And under that, we're going to have www.eurofolkradio.com and www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. And it's going to have a long sleeve version, and the websites will be printed on the sides of the sleeves as well. So as soon as those are ready, you know, we'll inform. But we're going to have fun with this, folks. The Goyim know, the Goyim know. And maybe we should add Oy Vey. on the bottom of the, and with a Jew with a big hooked nose, but that'd be too obvious, you know. We're gonna probably leave it the Goyim know with the website, so people can, you know, get familiar and tune in. Okay, so on this score, we have nothing to say to the Jews, but bring it on. Let's debate. And they're afraid to. No. They're absolutely terrified of debate. That's why.
I'll be real honest with you, Eli. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this in all sincerity. I don't even want to talk to them.
Yeah, right. Well, I think Art Jones.
It's beyond that point mm-hmm. for me.
Oh, yeah, right.
The talking time is over.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking in terms of Art Jones and defending himself against these accusations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, the more we can embarrass them publicly and make them look like the utter fools that they are, that's nice.
Yes.
But on a personal level, I'm getting ready for the excrement to hit the rotating blades.
That's right. It's already hitting the rotating blades.
Well, yeah, but
and it's ugly. I mean, it's real ugly.
I've got my go bag. I've got medical stuff. I've got emergency trail food, water purification, lots of medical supplies to help the injured because I'm skilled mm-hmm. at that. Shelter. I bought a smaller tent for the go bag, the great big huge tent that I take to Passover.
Uh-huh.
That's way too big to transport.
Right, sure.
So I've got a nice little camo tent that I can have out in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
One in the dead, and I've got got fire starting material. I've got cold medicine. Yeah. I've got alcohol. I've got. I mean, I'm ready not only for myself but to take care of others.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so one more thing on the hoax at cost. The Germar Rudolph lived in Chicago for a while, and Pastor Dan knows this because Germar and I, you know, did a conference in Michigan at a VFW lodge where a bunch of us got together and we dissected the Holocaust. Okay. So I was working with Germar Rudolph for a couple of years before he was deported. The Jews had him deported. And first also to Canada, like they did to Ernst Zindel. But then he went straight to Germany and he was put on trial there and spent 3 years in jail. Okay. You can't, because he was a German national, he did not have the rights of an American citizen. So neither did Ernst Zindel. And, you know, and they did the same to David Irving. Okay, all those guys spent time in jail for questioning the narrative, all right? This is what the Jews do to people. Catholics can't do that to people. Protestants don't do that to people. You know, only the Jews are guilty of this gross violation of freedom of speech. Gross violation of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And Germar and I were intending on going to a conference in Sacramento, California. It was a revisionist conference. Germar was scheduled to speak. I was a potential speaker, but it wasn't guaranteed. I had written an essay about Jewish soap. Okay? Mm. Jewish soap, because the Jews used to claim that the Nazis made soap out of Jewish fat. All right? However,
and the lampshade thing.
And the lampshade business. Yeah, all that stuff. Right. Well, they quietly removed the so-called Jewish soap out of all the Holocaust museums around the world right after the two British scientists discovered DNA. Can you guess why they had to remove the Jewish soap after the discovery of DNA?
Because it was pig fat.
Yeah, right. Oh, it is Jewish soap. Pardon me. Okay. Yeah. All right. Take number 82, please.
The Jews in World War I. Okay. Most historians seem to have no idea why America got involved in World War I. President Wilson campaigned for re-election on the slogan, "I kept our boys out of the war," but on April 2nd, 1917, Wilson asked Congress to declare war. What was the stated reason? The Lusitania. But wait. The Lusitania was blown up almost 2 years prior to Wilson's plea for a declaration of war. Why was it suddenly a reason for war when previously at the time of the incident, it wasn't declared to be such? To my knowledge, Wilson did not mention the Lusitania incident during his entire re-election campaign. Now, let's stop here. Weren't they carrying arms on Lusitania?
Yeah, it was a British ship that was carrying arms. The Germans knew it, the British knew it, and the Americans knew it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was in violation of our neutrality agreement with Germany.
Right. Okay. Since America was a declared neutral nation at the start of the war, America was obligated to support neither Germany nor Britain. But American industrialists and bankers routinely provided the British Empire with money and materiel, risking millions, even billions, on the proposition / speculation that Britain would emerge as the victor. But things started to turn sour when both France and Russia, Britain's allies, had been seriously weakened, leaving Britain alone to prosecute the war in an increasingly weak position. The German Spring Offensive of 1918 actually succeeded in rupturing the Allied line at a point where the Allies had insufficient reserves. At about this time, British Prime Minister Lloyd George was heard to remark, "We are going to lose this war." The Germans were actually winning this war, and the balance of power was beginning to shift from Britain to Germany. This is all underlined here. The American corporate investors in Britain's cause could not allow their billions in investment to be lost. Some pretext had to be found to persuade the American legislature into declaring war against Germany. And here is a dissenting voice that opposed Wilson's declaration of war. "We have loaned many hundreds of million dollars to the Allies in this controversy. While such action was legal and countenanced by international law, there is no doubt in my mind but the enormous amount of money loaned to the Allies in this country has been instrumental in bringing about a public sentiment in favor of our country taking a course that would make every bond worth 100 cents on the dollar and making the payment of every debt certain and sure. Through this instrumentality and also through the instrumentality of others who have not only made millions out of the war in the manufacture of munitions, etc., and who would expect to make millions more if our country can be drawn into the catastrophe, a large number of the great newspapers and news agencies of the country have been controlled and enlisted in the greatest propaganda that the world has ever known to manufacture sentiment in favor of war." Stop right here. Sounds like today, doesn't it?
Yeah, fake news.
Fake news now.
Yeah, saber rattling.
Continuing on.
Bankers.
It is now demanded that the American citizens shall be used as insurance policies to guarantee the safe delivery of munitions of war to belligerent nations.
Mm.
The enormous profits of munition manufacturers, stockbrokers, and bond dealers must still be further increased by our entrance into the war. This has brought us to the present moment when Congress, urged by the president and backed by the artificial sentiment, is about to declare
fake
war
news.
And engulf our, and engulf our country in the greatest holocaust that the world has ever known. There's a holocaust.
Yeah, artificial sentiment. I like that.
All
fake
right.
news.
and showing the position of the bondholder and the stockbroker, I desired to read an extract from a letter written by a member of the New York Stock Exchange to his customer. The writer says, let me scroll this up just a little bit. Regarding the war as inevitable, Wall Street believes that it would be preferable to this uncertainty about the actual date of its commencement. Canada and Japan are at war and are more prosperous than ever before.
Well, their speculators are, yeah.
Yeah, the popular view is that stocks would have a quick, clear, sharp reaction immediately upon outbreak of hostilities, and that then they would enjoy an old-fashioned bull market such as followed the outbreak of war with Spain in 1898.
War is good for business, is what this
The advent of peace would force a readjustment of commodity prices and would probably mean a postponement of new enterprises.
A crash.
As peace negotiations would be long drawn out, the period of waiting and uncertainty for business would be long.
Can't have that.
If the United States does not go to war, it is nevertheless good opinion that the preparedness program will compensate in good measure for the loss of the stimulus of actual war.
So get the war machinery rolling just in case the war we want happens.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Here we have the Wall Street view. Here we have the man representing the class of people who will be made prosperous should we become entangled in the present war, who have already made millions of dollars and who will make many hundreds of million more if we get into the war. Here we have the cold-blooded proposition that war brings prosperity to that class of people who are within the viewpoint of this writer.
Okay. Okay. Let me this is really good. Again, this is from www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, the 95 Theses Against the Antichrist, which is the Jewish people. And this is the sentiments of George W. Norris, 65th Congress. It's a congressional record. 65th Congress, first session, pages 212 to 214 and 223 to 236. So this guy, George W. Norris, is telling the truth. And Pastor Steve, every single war that America has gotten into, even the American Revolution, was started by Jewish bankers.
Jewish war.
Every single
money,
one.
Money, 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 money.
Right. Yeah. And the people are flummoxed by the press that they own into believing, oh, there's that boogeyman. There's that boogeyman, well, Hitler. Go ahead.
What people don't realize is they finance both sides.
That's right.
Then they have the support of the winner, and they absolutely move in and gut the loser.
That's right.
They loot that country.
That's right. That's what Yuri Lina, in his book, Under the Sign of the Scorpion, documents how the Jews who financed the Bolshevik Revolution basically stole everything from the nobility and sold it on the open market to recoup their investment.
Well, not only do they do that, but then after they have gutted what's left of that nation, then they loan them money to rebuild at interest.
Right. So they make money even after the war, right?
That is right. They make money every way. It's all about the money.
Six ways from Thursday.
That's it.
Every which way. Okay.
And you can't convince people of that when it's right in front of their face.
Yeah, that's why they don't know anything about economics.
If it looks like a skunk and it stinks like a skunk and right. It walks like a skunk.
Hold your nose, people.
And it sprays you
like a skunk,
it's probably a skunk.
It is a skunk.
What does it take and these people are willfully
and that skunk poops
blind.
Out Jewish soap.
They're willfully blind.
Amen.
They are so stupid.
You have to hand it
to
the Jews.
They have no sense of self-preservation.
Right. Yeah.
These libtards are a different physical breed.
All right.
Yeah, there's something else.
The Caucasian people that have a pair, they're going to go extinct because they have no self-preservation whatsoever.
Right, yeah, that's been taken from them.
And like the little yip-yip dog that's annoying a lion.
Right.
And the lion's trying to take a nap right now, but when the lion wakes up, he's going to reach out a paw and go smoosh.
Right.
And there, you know, yip, yip, yip.
Right. Good sound effects. You should work for Disney. Okay.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah. So this is what we're doing.
Not such a deal. I'm like with Disney.
Yeah.
Disney's turning in his grave. So we see that the Jews, you have to hand it to them, Pastor Steve. They are so good at propaganda. They are so good at brainwashing people. They are so good at taking over, as parasites do, the host country, that the host people don't even know they've been taken over.
I remember the Mickey Mouse Club, and they introduced racial integration.
Oh, they did.
All the way back then. They had to have a Negro.
Right. Right.
And they had to have a Jew.
And the cartoons. Even the cartoons have blonde-haired girls and black boys. Right? That's incredible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, with about 9 minutes left, let me take number 83. It's a short one. The Jews invented terrorism. They invented it during the reign of terror of the French Revolution. The French Revolution was a conspiracy against both France and the Church by the Illuminati and Freemasonry. Freemasons, and Michael and I talked about that earlier today on Lion of the North. Freemasons were duped and used as agent provocateurs in staging uprisings, while the Illuminati pulled the strings from behind the scenes. Unlike the American Revolution, which was a popular uprising against the international bankers, the French Revolution was staged by these international bankers for the express purpose of destroying the twin pillars of monarchy and church. Now, stop right here. These two institutions, monarchy and church, had already themselves become very corrupt. And they were in need of reform. And that reform, Pastor Steve, was taking place. The czars of Russia had started giving the peasants land so they could be landed farmers just like the landed farmers of America. They were instituting the American system in Russia. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Jews had to nip this in the bud and make these peasants land slaves again by imposing Bolshevism. Okay? That was the whole purpose of creating land slavery controlled by Jewish bankers as opposed to being controlled by monarchy and church. Okay? We also know that the church was very corrupt. So these two twin institutions were supposed to be obeying Yahweh's laws, but were doing virtually everything but. Of course, you had a few good monarchs along the way, not too many. You may have had one or two good popes along the way, but not too many, right? These institutions had to go because they were so totally corrupt. And these two...
Jew we've got in now as pope.
That's
so
right.
So many Jewish popes.
Yeah. John Paul II had a Jewish mother by the name of Katz. He was an actual literal Jew. All right?
Yeah.
So, okay. In this, they were highly successful in destroying these two. And if they got rid of the monarchy, the German monarchy, after World War I, okay, and also the Russian monarchy. But they already controlled the British monarchy, so they didn't have to get rid of that. Okay, totally control the British monarchy since the Bank of England was established. Establishment historians are at a loss to explain how such a civilized nation as France could have plunged so rapidly into such depths of despair and depravity. Look around you, folks. Isn't it happening to America right now? Look at the entertainment.
What we have as a nation right now compared to the early days?
Yeah, it's been
What is the moral structure or lack thereof compared to the early days?
Yeah, it's total debauchery.
The school systems in this nation compared to the school systems when Eli and I went to school?
Yeah. They're teaching homosexuality.
I never saw a Negro. Yeah. I never saw one.
I never saw a fag.
My senior year in high school, they brought one in to my school. I had one.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw a Negro in my neighborhood.
Even my high school.
They didn't even come in.
Yeah. Even my high school.
They didn't shop anywhere near us.
No Hispanics, no
they
black.
They had their place in the community, and that was in Cincinnati. They lived apart from the white people. The bus system was segregated. The restrooms were segregated in the north, in Ohio.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The drinking fountains were segregated, white and colored. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As it should be.
The schools were
segregated. Them to move out.
They went to school in their own school, Hughes High School. And they used to have a saying in Cincinnati, and they'd chant it and make fun. Hughes, Hughes, niggers and Jews. Hughes, Hughes, niggers and Jews.
Right. Right, yeah. Fake news.
And we had an integration.
Right. Right.
Well,
and everything went to hell.
I missed that.
Yeah.
And then I went down, and after high school and everything, I got my draft notice, and I went down for my physical, and I had been in gymnastics and doing some other stuff, and I'd landed, and I had cracked heel bones and didn't even know it. And they x-rayed my feet and says, no, you're 4F. I said, what?
Hmm.
I said, my father was in the Army during World War II. I said, you're telling me I'm not going in the Army? No. No, you're
lucky.
you're exempt. And I said, okay.
You're lucky. I had to go.
I was brainwashed at that time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was a patriot. I would kill a commie for mommy and all. I didn't know anything. I was a young, dumb kid.
Right. Kill an Asian so the commies could take over America. That's what that war was about.
But I didn't know that.
Who knew it? Very few people knew that.
Before I awoke to exactly what was going on, and I went to college.
Right.
And I was appalled by what was going on at college.
Right, right.
And my mother went ballistic when I said, I don't want to go to school anymore. I don't want to go to college.
Yeah, yeah. Why should I be brainwashed by a Jew?
I don't want to hear that crap.
Right. Exactly.
And I was a sign painter. I had my own sign company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Right. So, with a couple of minutes left, since the French Revolution was not a popular revolution, but actually a planned communist-style revolution, a stage-managed coup, as was the Bolshevik Revolution, and is the coup that they're trying to create here in America right now, but we are resisting it, directed by agents employed by the world's richest Jewish banker conspirators. It was not the popular uprising that the establishment history books convey. It is only from this privileged, well-documented vantage point of the secret societies that you can begin to understand how it got so completely out of hand, how a nation that was once the epitome of high civilization and culture could become so base and destitute to the point where they were chopping off each other's heads. Pastor Steve.
It's coming here.
It is here. They've even got the guillotines and the plastic coffins ready for us, folks.
Well, I got my own guillotine.
Yeah, right.
Okay, given this, look.
Go ahead.
Look, I'm an old man, but how did I get to be old? Yeah, with all that I've been through, gone through the hellhole, the federal hellhole that I went through, and I never lost my faith. In fact, my faith increased.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back. They didn't
break
me. They just made me meaner.
That's right.
They didn't make me meaner.
Okay. So, folks, the message for today is don't believe Jewish lies, because they're just going to involve us in yet another global war and in another Jewish-style, Bolshevik-style revolution here in America. You must be aware that that's what the Jews have planned for us, just because they've done it so many times already. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time. Upcoming is Andrew and probably Paul, and then Pastor Dan. I'm sorry, then David James, then Pastor Dan, and then Voice of Christian Israel. Please support Eurofolk Radio to the best of your ability. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. See you next time.
See you later. Shalom Aleichem. Praise Yahweh.